Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's ESPN's Jason Fitz, host of Spain and Fitz and SportsCenter on Snapchat. Listen to Jason every weeknight on 92.9 FM ESPN and 680 AM. And hear him now live with Jason and John.
Fitz, what's going on, man?
What's up, Fitz?
And just living that dream. How y'all doing?
Everything is good here in Memphis. It feels like we've got the four best teams, the four teams that have been the best all throughout the year. That's who's left in the playoffs. And I think that's a good thing. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, why would we want it any other way, right? And so there was this interesting stat that came out, I think it was last week, somebody pointed out that since 2012, no team has gone to the Super Bowl that's had to win a road game to get there. So, you know, what it tells us is after that period of wild card teams getting there, and I think 2012 was the last time that happened, and you had that era where it felt like, you know, the Giants were perennially a six seed and getting through. Look, that's fun. But what we've seen over the last few years is that home field means everything. You win at home, you go to the Super Bowl. So, you know, at this point, we have the four best teams. And it's a little reminiscent of the college football conversation. You know, I don't think if college football had had 16 teams in the playoffs, I think we still would have ended up with Clemson, Alabama. So I'm all for getting the four best teams. This is where it gets interesting, though, because there's not a massive difference to me between the teams that are left in the top four.
When it comes to this weekend's round of games, individual performance or unit performance, maybe a defense offense you were most impressed with this weekend, whether it's Brady, Breeze, Michael Thomas was awesome, that Rams defense that stepped up and stopped the run maybe in a way we didn't think was possible, individual performance or unit performance you were most impressed with this weekend?
I think the Saints with that, 12-minute drive that they put together, I know that's only one drive in a game, but, man, there were a lot of opportunities for the Saints to sort of fold and let that game go.
Yep.
And that was the moment where I felt like you were just sort of reminded playoff experience means something. You know, like having been there before from your quarterback means something. And I think with Patrick Mahomes being the outlier to that, there is a spot where you look at it and say, man, the ability for guys to be able to calm a team down and get a team down the field that way and just break the will of another team, I mean, that's impressive. That being said, I thought what the Chiefs did to the Colts was the most unexpected thing of the weekend, and I'm not going to take anything away from that Chiefs offense. It was just, I mean, my God, unstoppable, and they were able to make Andrew Luck look like Andrew Luck looked the first month of the season instead of since. And so a lot of love also goes to the Chiefs.
We were talking a little bit earlier, Fitz, about Tom Brady's comment after the game where he said, everybody thinks we suck and can't win any games. And I admire that level of self-delusion because he's just bored. You know, every year it's the same thing. He's in the conference championship game again. Is this just him inventing things to keep himself motivated?
Yeah. I mean, it feels a little like the Michael Jordan thing, right? I mean, the great ones seem to find a way. Kobe always seemed to be angry about something. Like, you keep winning. What are you so mad about? You know, and I think that's part of the culture around the Patriots. Look, I was pretty surprised by how badly they beat the Chargers. I thought the Chargers could give them a game, and frankly, I thought the Chargers could win that game. I've been really high on L.A. all year. L.A. disappeared, and the Patriots looked like the Patriots, and their ability to run the ball was a little bit of a surprise to me. And, you know, we forget that Chargers defense, by the end of the year, was a top 10 defense in the NFL. Did not look like it. I mean, they were able to just go in and sort of do whatever they wanted there, and Brady seemed to be smarter at that point. Like, that was not only did the Patriots out-coach the Chargers, Brady just out-quarterbacked anybody in that game. So, you know, I don't know what he's so mad about, but this is what great athletes do. They find some reason to feel like they don't get enough respect.
Is Dak the guy for the Cowboys long-term, Fitz? Do you think he proved it?
Nah, I mean, can Dak be okay and that's okay? You know what I mean? Like, I don't look at Dak and think that Dak is suddenly going to be the next Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly.
In 10 years, I don't think we're talking about him in that sense. I think the hard part is that's what everybody wants their young quarterbacks to be. And so, you know, I guess I look at it and say, is Dak going to be a top half of the league NFL quarterback? I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Dak's going to be that special guy that you look at and you say, hey, we can win any game because we have Dak. I don't even think Dak's going to end up being Russell Wilson. But I think those are also really difficult expectations to put on a quarterback. I mean, the hardest part for the Cowboys is they're going to have to invest in Dak because they won't have a lot of choice. They're winning. It's a lot like Jason Garrett. You got to invest in the guy even if you don't love him because you're winning games and things are going pretty well.
We are, of course, talking to Jason Fitz. He joins us every single Monday. Catch him on Spain and Fitz in the evenings here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Fitz, we were also talking earlier about how this sort of represents on both sides. You've got Breeze and Brady, and then you've got Goff and Mahomes. Now, it could be, I guess, perceived as a passing of the torch, but I get the sense that Brady and Breeze are not quite ready to do that yet. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, not at all. And that's where we have to sort of reassess the way we look at the quarterback position, because the one thing you have to accept now in today's world is that the quarterback can be incredible if you put the right pieces around him and he studies the game. The quarterback can be incredible until he's 40. So if you're looking at it from a draft standpoint, you draft a guy you like. You know, if you hit on the guy in the draft you like that's 24 years old, you have your quarterback answer for 15, 16 years. I think that's real. And as much as we want to sort of kick Breeze and Brady out the door because we're ready for the next story, you also have to remember that the level they're playing at and the way they now protect quarterbacks, why should I think it's going to get any worse? I mean, there are definite downticks in the game of Brady, according to people smarter than me that have looked at the velocity on the ball and the way he gets the ball out. It looks like it's a little more labored. So I guess there could be physical ramifications. But for Breeze particularly, I mean, my God, the guy's completing an astronomical percentage of his passes. He looks as efficient as ever. I mean, why do we think he's not going to continue to play for a year or two more? I mean, I don't see a downfall. So I think we want this passing of the torch because we're ready for a new story. But those guys aren't ready to give up, and they shouldn't be. They're still playing at an incredible level.
Do you feel worse for Alshon Jeffrey, who obviously drops a big pass on what could have been a game-winning drive? And clearly is the go to that game and it kills him? Or do you feel worse for Cody Parkey? Is there a difference in how you feel for the two of them?
Wow, that is a great question. And I think because of the swagger that Alshon's carried himself with his entire year and because of the position he plays, it's hard for me to feel bad for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're a wide receiver and you're not even a quiet wide receiver. You're not, you're not Amari Cooper. You know, you're not a guy that just goes out and does his job. You're more like a, Michael Crabtree. You're a guy out there that's running your mouth and letting people know about
hands.
It. And
yes.
If you're going to run your mouth, like, we don't see Cody Parkey out there talking trash, And the other part of Parkey, as much as people don't want to hear this, is it was blocked. Right?
Yes.
I mean, somebody got a finger on it. So I have a hard time. I mean, the only difference is I would say that people love to blame kickers so much. I don't think Parkey can play again for the Bears. I don't think that's fair. Alshon Jeffrey obviously is not going to – he doesn't have to go anywhere. So, I feel bad. I feel worse for Parkey because he doesn't ask for that level of attention.
Right.
Fitz, what do you come down on Kyler Murray and what route he should take? Obviously, if I told you you can become a successful NFL quarterback, that would probably be the preferred destination. But as we know, that position is probably the toughest in sports. So there are basically zero guarantees. The money might be better up front, less of a grind initially. But what's the best path for a guy like Kyler Murray?
I think because of this year's draft particularly, I think coming out makes a lot of sense. I mean, as much as I think long-term he can make more money and have a better career in baseball, I haven't watched him play baseball. I mean, it's college baseball. Most of us aren't paying attention to it. But the way they talk about him, the way the organization feels about him, obviously he can have a baseball career, but I mean, I'm not willing to put Dwayne Haskins squarely ahead of him in the quarterback conversation. So if we think that he can have a good combine, and even though he's too short, according to most people, if he can go in and find himself as a top 10 draft pick, you're talking about $22, $23 million up front, fully guaranteed he's going to get out of that. So why not do that and take your chances at it? Because the other side of it is, if he decides in a couple of years he wants to go back to baseball, Tebow's proven you can do that at some level. So he can go back whenever he chooses to go back. And the way the quarterback position is protected, like we said earlier, I mean, it's not like he's going to be risking, concussions and head injuries and all that. Like, he's likely to go back there and not, like, if he protects himself, he's going to be able to stay pretty healthy. So, I think from that standpoint, you take your money right now. If the guys around you are telling you can be a top 10 pick, you run for that.
Jason, you think Nick Foles can recreate this magic with another franchise, do this somewhere else? You were talking about lightning striking and sometimes it just takes that, and you wonder if it's, you know, that organization, the way it believes in him, and just in Peterson and his involvement in it. Do you think he can do this somewhere else? And if so, do you think do you see a good fit for a Nick Foles?
No, I don't think he can do it somewhere else.
I have my doubts. Yep.
If the Eagles really believed he was this good nonstop, he would have been starting all year. I mean, I know we all love Carson Wentz, but Carson Wentz hasn't been healthy this year, mm-hmm. and they resisted putting in Foles. There's a reason for that. I mean, they've found the right formula to get success out of Nick Foles, and I think they're in a really interesting situation because obviously he's going to cost, what, $21 million yep. next year for them? And you're looking at that from their standpoint. They can't let him walk because nobody knows at this point how healthy Carson Wentz is or will be. So they're going to want to try and keep him. But I could see in a year where there just isn't a great quarterback class in the draft and there aren't a lot of big-name free agents, I could see a team like Jacksonville mm-hmm. going in and offering him like a 2 or 3 year deal that they can get out of after a couple of years. You see how it works. If it's great, awesome. If it's not, you dip into next year's draft class, which is going to have Tua, and suddenly you're going to be able to find yourself maybe a better franchise quarterback situation yeah. rather than reach. That's my continual message right now to fans that want a quarterback is, man, don't take one in the draft just because you feel like you need a quarterback. Take a quarterback you love. Otherwise, give too much money to a veteran for 2 years and wait and see.
Yeah. Wanted to ask you about Antonio Brown. Art Rooney obviously came out and said it's hard to envision him being back with Pittsburgh. And Jerry Rice did a radio interview today in San Francisco where he said Antonio Brown wants to come to the 49ers really bad. And we've seen Antonio Brown and George Kittle kind of go back and forth on Twitter. Do you think Antonio Brown is playing somewhere besides Pittsburgh next season?
I think so. And that's a tough one because not just for the Steelers, you know, they lose that $21 million. It's dead cap money either way. That's a tough one for whoever acquires him because everybody's in love with Antonio Brown. He's had great production. I'm not taking anything away from that, but he's 30. And 30 is a number that still matters for wide receivers. Mm-hmm. So are you going to go in? He's 30, and some people say that he wants a new deal already. So if he gets signed somewhere, he wants to be locked in for more money for longer. So are you willing to invest $30 million plus in Antonio Brown for the next 3 years? I don't know. That feels like a lot of money. Like he's a playmaker extraordinaire, but the other parts of it are difficult for me. Let's remember, too, as much as he wants to play there, the 49ers have some money, but the Colts have a ton of money. The Browns have a ton of money. The Jets have a ton of money. So I could see one of those teams trying to acquire both AB and then signing Le'Veon Bell. There's enough money for teams to do that.
No doubt about it. Fitz, man, we appreciate it as always, brother. Thank you.
Thanks, gentlemen. Have a great week.
Yep. You too.
He is Jason Fitz from Spade and Fitz, obviously, joins us every single Monday. Yeah, very interesting. I mean, you can think about that core there. Jimmy Garoppolo comes back healthy. Antonio Brown, you know, they had an emerging run game. George Kittle, that's a pretty dynamic offense all of a sudden.
Yeah, Kittle's a beast, a tight end for them, basically a receiver.
Oh yeah,
he's one of those guys.
Yeah,
I like the pieces. You've still got to make the moves themselves, but they got all the money in the world. They can do it.
I think the Foles thing is interesting because he's probably going to be a starter somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm. He's gone, right? That's the feeling I got in the presser.
He's gone. He's gone.
I know they may want to keep him, but you cannot at that cap hit, right? You can't.
Right.
You can't do it at $21 million. So he's gone. Where's the best spot?
See, right? He mentioned the Jaguars, and obviously that makes a ton of sense, right? Like Blake Bortles isn't going to be
still
back.
Got the frame of a framework of a great defense. Yeah.
I will say, like, I mean, John Robinson, he left it up in the air about Mariota
when
he did his end of the season thing, and he basically said that we want to have him back. We want to make sure he's healthy, you know? And so if you come to the season...
Well, that's a virtual impossibility. Well, You will never know if Marcus Mariota's healthy.
Hang on.
Well,
If you come into the season with him still dealing with that stinger in his elbow, mm-hmm. and that's just a thing that could last the rest of his career,
then you can't
how do you not look at a guy like Nick Foles?
Well, you know who else needs a quarterback? Denver. I mean, Denver could get into the Foles
sweepstakes. That's one of the teams I thought you'd definitely put up there and mention.
You know, Miami. You know, Miami, what are they going to do with Tannehill? You know?
Oh, they're done. Miami's pushed the reset button. They're going for a quarter, but they're going for Tua in a couple years.
So that certainly would be an interesting spot. The Buccaneers, I mean, they got Jameis, but are you really confident in Jameis? So, you know, there are a few landing spots that make sense.
I'm like Nick Foles. I don't get the sense. Remember what he was before this?
Oh yeah,
which was a journeyman,
right?
A backup,
correct?
And to his point, you know, I know part of it's that Wentz is our guy. This is what we've spent on him. He's our guy going forward. So we're gonna try to force that, right? But I just have to think it's sort of lightning in a bottle.
Right.
That he's not going to do this with another franchise. A lot of it, the setup, the team's belief in him, yep. Peterson, too. I mean, a lot of times it's just the right fit.
I want to say he had, like, one good year with Chip Kelly.
Dude, that first run with Philly, he had, like, a record-breaking
year. Yeah, where he barely threw any interceptions.
And then you got to also keep in mind, just like Case Keenum, he goes to L.A. under Jeff Fisher, and they, like, all failed there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, both those quarterbacks, Todd Gurley failed there in his second season.
He did.
Like,
he did.
It's just Jeff Fisher did not do a good job with that team.
He's got the clutch gene, though, and you tell me there late in that game against New Orleans if you didn't think he was about to go down there and put them in the end zone.
So true.
Because of what he's done. Like, if Alshon doesn't drop that ball and it gets picked off, like, it felt like they were going in. It really did.
It's true. It's true.
It's something else. I don't know how he does it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.